Oh, boy. Well, this is going to be a multiple participatory experience. I guess to start with, given the unpreparedness of the person at the station, I want to ask the Lord to help me, just to guide me, to ask that those out here assist me in attempting to make something meaningful come as a consequence of standing here. We know that it's in your hands, Lord. We know that you won't let us down. We pray that we won't let you down. Amen. So, to start with, let me say that as we were leaving last Sunday, Kim, in a joking fashion, announced that I had something to say. And I tried to parry that and actually didn't accept it. It was the smartest thing to say in truth, if the truth be known. But I knew that it was intended for me, but it wasn't official. So I could relax about it and just wait on it and see if there was some press to say something. And as a kind of reflection of probably the common experience of all our lives, I got home and finding it more challenging somehow morphed it into it hadn't really been said. It really didn't exist. It wasn't said for me. And again, as a common experience in many of our lives, I'm sure, all those things that possibly didn't need to be focused as intensely on were focused on during the course of the week. Reality is that there have been some crises in my own personal life. Recently, some health matters, not for myself, but for someone that I do care dearly about. And it's a woman who's a previous partner of mine, with whom I seem now to be sharing the raising of a three-year-old. Circumstances of that I suppose I could elaborate more fully on, but really aren't that important to talk much about. But she has recently found that that she has growths in a portion of her body, and was told as of 2.5 weeks ago that there would need be a removal of these, and that they might be cancerous. Hopefully they weren't. And it forced her to look at her own mortality, and as a consequence, me to look at not only feelings I have that have been rather more dormant, but even more than that, what to do about a three-year-old if this woman is suddenly gone. This little girl has no binding to me of a legal nature, yet I've been acting in the role of a father. And as an aside, that's kind of a role that's thinking of the father, that is something that has its own challenges associated, but is a wonderfully rewarding one. In any case, I found myself struck by needing to focus on this, and this seemed a noble thought. This seemed, certainly God wouldn't want me to shirk my responsibilities here. And I spent some meaningful time with babysitting this three-year-old and attending to her as she needed to be attended. Good morning, Crystal. Hello. Okay. Attending to her and her needs. And I don't think it was totally a diversion. These were things that had to be done. But I wasn't providing for what was needed, and that was to spend some time in reflection or spend some time in private reception from the Lord. And other things arose in the context of that week. Suddenly the extra weight I gained in the winter became so important that I needed to vigorously get on my bike, and 20 miles wasn't enough. I had to go 30, and I had to go faster and more effectively. And so I was substituting those things that were meaningful for me as opposed to things that were meaningful for him. So I walk in today, and Peggy says to me, "You have the message." And I don't have the message because I haven't spent any time thinking about it. Well, I spent time thinking about not thinking about it. Maybe that's the better way. And I kind of looked at that and thought, isn't that the way life is? We substitute those things that are easier, are more convenient, are less challenging, knowing in our hearts that there are other things upon which we ought to focus, and yet we don't do it. So I'm sitting in the back, and I'm a cascade of thoughts that I'm trying to focus on, and I'm angry with myself. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm feeling somewhat guilty. And I think the song A Father's Love was on. And I'm feeling these arms, not physically, but I'm aware of these arms that are surrounding me. And I'm really thinking, you know, it's not about failure, it's not about success, it's not about personal embarrassment or challenge. It's really about trying. It's really about announcing in a sort of public fashion, or even in just a private moment, that there are some things that are more important than others. And I'm further thinking as these arms are comforting me that there isn't really failure anyway. That it's not really about it's not even about what one says. It's about what one feels. It's about how one identifies with his personal Savior and with his Father in heaven. And so I felt some easing of a bit of the tension associated with that. And then I thought, how gracious is our sister Peggy, who has, when I tell her I don't have the message, she says, it's okay. I said, well, do you have something? And she looked a bit like she didn't, but she didn't say that. And she said, well, she sort of shook her head, yes, I do. There's something. And so I think she knew I was suffering a bit in the back, and she came to announce that she thought a nice thing to do was to talk about scriptures that each of us might hold in our own hearts that were meaningful to us, had some direction for us, gave us some comfort and some desire and some passion. And I'm, again, sitting back there, everything's so personal, you know, it's like so important that I get right, and which is kind of ridiculous, but that's just the way I am. I'm thinking, well, you know, kind of on the spot, well, what really is there anything that I can identify that seems important to me? You sort of are asked periodically to look at your own faith, your own level of trust, your own understanding. And I'm got the old mental Rolex going, and I'm trying to go through and think about, well, what things do I actually even know, let alone what are things that mean something to me? And I came upon the, sort of as a metaphor for my life anyway, the parable of the sower, which we could read. I'm not sure we need to read it. It's pretty commonly known, but I found it. Didn't know where it was. I didn't know, as my learned sister would, exactly where we might, the five references that we could probably find for that. But I found it in not surprisingly, in the Gospels, and in Luke, and it's Luke 8. Okay. Hold on. If there's a word for me, we want this recorded. Especially for me.
I felt my heart racing, and I saw a rabbit hopping around, and I heard, be still and know that I am God.
Sounds on point, doesn't it? Thank you. Well, there were a few palpitations, no doubt about it. And actually, as it occurs to me, I didn't give any... Everything doesn't have to be regimented, I know, but I didn't give any private time for anyone to speak about his or her thoughts. But that's... thank you. That'll be helpful. So anyway, I'm thinking of the parable of the sower as a metaphor for my life. And, you know, there are kind of four parts to it. There's the seed that's thrown out or that's cast out or sowed. It either falls and is quickly eaten, or it falls and kind of doesn't die immediately, but doesn't really grow, and then it takes over for a season, and eventually in the last portion it's able to multiple, and it develops in multiples. And I was running through the sort of history of my own life and recognized that as a very young child, I had plenty of exposure. There was that seed that was... the attempt was there to implant that. And I think that for a time, perhaps in that second step, it kind of took hold a little bit. But then personal issues in my own life challenged the notion that anyone should trust anyone, that there's anything called love and that we can rely on it. And that seed got crushed. And being old enough to now look back on life, I recognize that there was, we talk about things in due season, and there was a long season where that seed was really dormant. There was nothing, at least that I was aware of, that was allowing that seed to be nourished or to grow. And subsequently, it really took a kind of personal series of events in my life to let me recognize that though I had ignored it, though I had denied it, though I had always described myself as an agnostic, a complete doubter of that which I had at least been exposed to, it took me kind of being out in my own wilderness for a time to allow that seed to then begin to grow. And so in my own life story, this kind of parable of the sower recurrently reminds me that to some extent we're all given the opportunity, and we have in some way to either accept or reject it. And if we accept it, we have to then in some fashion provide for an environment that allows that to grow. It's not just enough to believe and to say we believe, but we have to nurture that ourselves. That might mean being more back toward the Word to get more knowledge. It might mean surrounding ourselves with others who believe to get strength in through their knowledge and through the numbers. It might, and I'm sure it does mean, taking really private time to spend with the Lord, to let Him provide for us, so that in a recognition that we can't provide for ourselves. And though we can receive it, because it's always there, we have to be receptive to it. So I've liked this particular scripture for, actually since I learned of it, and have thought fairly long and hard about it, even if my ramblings aren't really necessarily providing justification for that. But I think Peggy's idea to take me off the hook was a good one. If in my kind of early walk with the Lord, I've identified certain things that are meaningful to me, I'm suspecting that some of us also have. And it isn't meant to be directing that all might speak, but if anyone has something that seems to be meaningful for him or her that they want to share, it would be helpful for the body for us to hear about it, I would think. So I want to stop. I can go on if I need to, but if there's a pregnant pause and not filled, I'll continue. But if anyone has anything else to add, the rabbinical Bob over here is smiling slightly. He knows the Red Sox are doing better. You've got that sort of rabbinical look with the Well, you have taught us quite a bit.
Do you?
No.
So have you.
Well, trying my best. Thank you. So, anybody have anything that comes to them that they want to talk? It doesn't have to be a scriptural reference, but at least I think Peggy correctly thought that many of us hold certain scriptures in our hearts that are more meaningful than others and might want to share with some of us. So I'll be quiet and open the floor.
First, I want to thank you that one scripture edifying, and it might be Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I think the Lord has done a wonderful thing through you today. You stepped up and you did what you thought the Lord wanted you to do, and I think that's an awesome thing. I think everybody will agree with that. Yesterday, my body wasn't feeling that well, and so I was kind of in a relaxing mode. And I was reading something that one of my friends from our neighborhood had left with Bob and I to look at. It was a memory book that she had created through the Palmer Senior Center, and they were asked to follow certain guidelines and to list all their memories of their life and so on. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing. So I'm reading this life of hers, and it was all very positive. I don't know if that was on purpose, but I know that, in every life there's ups and downs. But the general gist of all of it was very positive and upbeat. And I'm reading it. Of course, now my body's not feeling that good, so my emotions are taking over. And I'm sitting there and I'm crying. And I'm saying, Lord, what is this all about? But I guess as a woman, you kind of get that way at times. But anyway.
We never get that one.
No. So anyway, I heard the Lord say to me that part of the reason I was feeling sorry for myself, he did say to me, snap out of it. I mean, what is your problem? Your life and your memory really and truly began when you accepted me into your life. So he actually gave me a scripture, and it was Matthew 6:33. That was, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And I said, well, thank you, Lord, because for me, I don't have a lot of memory of my childhood. There are a few things, but a lot of it I just don't remember. And I've asked him, why don't I remember these things? And I think part of it was him saying to me that now that I'm with him, that this is my life now, and this is all I need to worry about. And a lot of things have been restored. I have my father in heaven now. I didn't have a father when I was growing up. I mean, I did, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. But we're not going to go there. And so I have him and his unconditional love. And I have a new family. I've got a marriage that has lasted longer than any other marriage that I had. I've got friends, I've got the body of Christ, that I know if anything, happened in my life, there'd be prayers, there would be people that would be around me and with me to hold me up. And praise God for that. So I believe that, this is a scripture that I can hold on to and remember in my life.
Thank you. Any other takers? Gail, just because she's closer. Then we'll go to Linda.
Yeah, I'll get up.
I guess I won't be kneeling down.
Yeah, Peggy had asked me the same thing with Scripture. And I don't know if it's a specific Scripture per se. I've spent a long time, for about 5 or 6 weeks, in and out of a book on total forgiveness. And the Lord knows I desperately needed this book. And this book has taken me into some very painful, difficult corners. Things that, we just don't like to go there. Hurts a lot, God. But nonetheless, that's God's plan for it to go there. So I've been progressing through, and I go back through it, probably 4 or 5 times been back through, and God keeps cutting it down deeper and deeper and deeper levels. And I'm finding that the truths that have been come forth in this book are very, very meaningful and are holding a very strong place, obviously, in my heart. And one of the things that came to me to share was that as I went through this book this past week, and there were, of course, needless to say, God's going to provide numerous opportunities for you to forgive, because he's pointing this out in my life. I had a great deal of bitterness buried down deep in my heart that I just, I'm not going there. That hurts too much, God. Do not want to touch that spot until the Lord gets you ready to touch that spot. And I have discovered that the Lord has indeed gotten me ready to go to that spot. So he has provided numerous opportunities for me to forgive on a level I have been unable to forgive. And the amazing thing that came to me was the word resurrection. And I'm discovering the enormity, and I don't think my words are going to convey this, of God's grace. That as those deep roots of hurt and pain and bitterness are just kind of being brought up to the surface or being unearthed for God and myself to deal with, that as I continually ask for grace, it's there. And this is amazing to me, because the hurt will be there and he'll reveal the situation, or whatever is taking place my life will show it. You're right, God. You're absolutely right. I see it. I get it. But I desperately need something to overcome it. And that's where the word resurrection was becoming very meaningful, that as I turn to God's grace, and there are moments when I'm really crying out for grace, God, grace. And lo and behold, up comes the resurrection power from within me, is that I exercise the faith that God is showing me that his grace can do, obviously, what I can't do. That's impossible. It is impossible for me to overcome these areas. It is impossible for me to even deal with them. They're just way over my head. But up comes God's grace, and this ability to overcome comes right up through, and wow, that's amazing. Last night I had a big disappointment, and I walked around for about 5 minutes disappointed, and I thought, I don't want to spend the rest of the evening, disappointed. So again, grace, God, grace, grace to, sure enough, up comes God's grace, and this amazing resurrection flow comes up within me to overcome the feelings and to release the forgiveness for the situation. And for me, this is unlocking so much that this is rather a rather long-term thing, because it's been there for a long time, so I'm obviously not going to get rid of it any I don't think. I don't want to outdo God, but I know that the longer something stays there, it kind of takes a while for it to break up and go. I would like to have had it gone yesterday, but for reasons, it's not going away right away. And maybe that's what I need. Maybe if it went away too quick, I wouldn't really appreciate it. I don't know. But anyway, I would just like to share with you that God's grace is that amazing. That God's grace is that powerful. That God's grace is something I absolutely did not deserve and many of us deserve. But lo and behold, it's there. That as we yield and as we ask and trust, His grace is there to overcome what is absolutely impossible for us to overcome, whatever the situation calls on. It's there. It's alive, it's real, and it's beyond the level of what I know how to understand or to speak.
Thank you, Gail. Linda?
The scripture that the Lord uses with me a lot is, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So often, He has to remind me of that. And kind of like you, when I was teaching in the Catholic Church, CCD, I was asked to do it. I had always been extremely shy all my life. Even my adult life, I was shy. And I checked, like, the dance, and He grabbed me to get up to dance. Nobody else is dancing. I wanted everybody up there before I got up there. That's the kind of person I was. And the Lord, I would get up there trembling, you know, and even if I prepared things, and they were very well prepared, and I knew it was from the Lord, but sometimes He would just take that away and say, no, you're going just with the Holy Spirit, whatever He's got for you to say. And then they asked me to stand up in front of the whole church and read, and that was another problem. And I mean, I wouldn't have accepted any of it unless I knew it was the Lord first, and I did. And so many times that people would come up and say, oh, so you read so well. You know, it was only the Holy Spirit reading, but I always had to give Him the glory. That was the thing. I could never take His glory. But you up there, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Even though you sound like you're bumbling and, you know, not saying anything, it's the Holy Spirit coming through you because you were willing to go up there and do what you were asked to do. And that was by the Holy Spirit. So if you thought you did wrong, then it's the Holy Spirit doing wrong because He's doing it through you. So remember that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He
never does wrong.
Anyone else with anything to add? Well, I have a praise report to offer, in a good sense. So I laid the foundation for this woman dying of cancer and the like, and has to have surgery, and that's the last word, and that's what her consultant, the expert, says, and the praise is for God and His intervention, of course, and it's a good ending, and that's praiseworthy to note for all that it provides for us. But she, it's also, basically, the findings are that she doesn't have cancer. That's and all of a sudden, the got to have that out, cancer or not, well, let's rethink that. Doesn't have to have surgery, at least for now. And so, all of a sudden, it occurs to me that my training all suggests that there's no possibility that anything could be different than it was 3 weeks ago. It just, you know, it is what it is, and it was never a problem anyway. And, you know, Joe Blow, the gastroenterologist, didn't really know. You know, human failings as they are. And what's great for me personally is to recognize that that belief is sorrowfully challenged by having a faith that says that that's not axiomatic, that's not absolute, that's not, you shouldn't be dogmatic about that. Anything's possible, including an intercessor or intercessors, changing the pathology report, showing something different, something that was isn't now. And it's for skeptics and people like me, I guess I'll include in that, it's hard to believe that, but the praise I'll give to God, because I, as much as I resist it, I do believe it, and that's something I wouldn't have been able to say not that long ago. And so the anyway, I guess I won't suddenly be the, you know, the single parent of a child that's not my own. That's, I guess, possibly good news for the child. And maybe for me. And so I'll share that as a praise report. I guess I'd just like you all to join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity today to share with one another. Putting us on the spot sometimes seems a bit foreboding, but I'm reminded by the company of those about me that you provide always some way for us. We just have to be open to it and to allow it to manifest either in us or through others. And so we thank you today, Lord, for helping each and all with his or her own personal doubts, for the support that we provide for each other. We thank you. We thank you for our pastor. We pray for a safe return. We remember him and his lovely wife, both now and in our private moments of prayer. We ask that he come back and relieve some of us of the responsibilities he assigns to us in his absence. and mostly, Lord, we just thank you for the chance to be together as a body. Ask that as we go forth today, that you continue to bless us, each and every one, in your own way. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.